I want to talk about fathers today. Happy Father's Day. You are blessed. We are studying in the young people's class downstairs, Proverbs. And we were talking this morning about Proverbs. We were in Proverbs 4. We stopped at Proverbs 5. One of the things that's repeated in chapter 4 in particular, and that, not that it isn't repeated in other places in the book of Proverbs, but it begins in verse 1, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding." Over in verse 10, he repeats, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be happy." In verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Verse 1 of chapter 5, "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding." I was telling the boys, as I should say, the young men, because they are not, most of them are not boys anymore. They're young men. I don't know any fathers. I personally do not know a father that does not want the very best for their children. That they would do exactly what Solomon is saying here to his son. Listen, pay attention to what I'm telling you, because I have experienced life and I want you to have an advantage that maybe I didn't have, to overcome the difficulties of life. And so here are some things that you need to do, that you need to remember, that you need to pay close attention to as you live your life. I don't think there's a father that I'm aware of that wants failure for their children. And that begins by the father being in the home. In Ephesians 6 and in verses 2 and 3, Paul quotes from the Old Testament when he says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Clearly, fathers are to be honored. When a father is honored, he will accept the responsibility of being a husband and a father, or he is in rebellion to God. Someone even suggested that honor comes before responsibility. And I struggle with that statement because it just didn't seem correct in my mind. My perspective is that they kind of come together, kind of at the same time. A father who is responsible will be honored. A father who is honored will be responsible. A father is to be honored even if he is not acting responsibly. And a father is to be responsible whether he is honored or not. And I think some of that starts with a father's responsibility to the mother. In Genesis 2 and in verse 24, God says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And Paul repeated that statement in Ephesians 5 and in verse 31. I want you to think about it. You may not know anything about welding, but I learned this a long time ago. In fact, I learned it in shop class. Well, I would call it farm shop class because it was all about farming most of the time. Welding materials together, welding metal together. When you weld two pieces of metal together, when you try to break that weld, you cannot, and if it's a good weld, let me put it that way. If it's a good weld, you cannot break that weld without damaging both pieces of material. That's an important thing to keep in mind. That's what divorce does. It damages both parties. That's why God says here, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined, or the King James says, cleave. The idea of cleaving is to hold so tight, to be glued together, to be welded together. And this is very little. There's very little leaving and joining or cleaving in today's society. I just read a couple of days ago that Al Pacino has become a father at age 83, and he and his girlfriend, which was quite young, announced the name of the baby. And it just made me think, this is where our society has gone. Where's the joining in this? Where is the honor in this? There is none. You see, God says that a husband is to love his wife. A father is to love the mother of his children. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, Paul says, husbands, love your wives. And then he qualifies it, doesn't he? Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Be willing to lay your life down. That's how strong this love is to be. Peter goes on to tell us that we're to live with our wives in an understanding way. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, he says to husbands, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. That idea of understanding way, or in knowledge, according to knowledge. It's the idea of seeking to know this individual. It is the idea of inquiring about her and getting to know her intimately. It's the idea of investigating who she is, what makes her tick. And I know there are a lot of men out there who say you just can't understand women. Paul or Peter is saying, get to know her. Find out. Seek the knowledge that you need to know who she is and what makes her tick. Take in that knowledge. Come to know that and recognize and understand who she is. And then Jesus says that we ought to treat her in the way we want to be treated in Matthew 7 and verse 12, doesn't he? In everything, therefore, treat people, that would be your wife as well, the mother of your children, in the same way that you want to be treated. For this is the law and the prophets. And again, a husband is to honor her. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 again, notice that he is to show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 31 and verse 28 about the woman, the mother, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. 1 Corinthians 7 also addresses the relationship of a husband and wife. In verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his bone body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except for agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I thought about this idea of fulfilling your duty. Fulfill your responsibility. Do what you should do all of the time. That means physically, spiritually, in every way that you have responsibility as a husband, as a father. Fulfill that responsibility to your wife. A father has responsibility to his children, too. He needs to recognize their value. He needs to appreciate their value. This is not in my sermon, but yesterday, two of my wonderful grandchildren were trying to help their parents get better gas mileage. They added water to the gas tank. And so somebody had to clean up the gas tank last night. But my son-in-law, who was helping them assist in this, said that the children were sitting in the room in chairs, and he asked why they were there. He said, because Mom said we had to sit here, but I don't know why. We don't understand why. And it's just, children are pretty special, aren't they? They surely are. You see, you've got to recognize their value. Even though they don't understand what they've done, you've got to appreciate what love that has. It truly is. In Genesis 33 and in verse 5, this is when Jacob is about to meet Esau for the first time after he ran away to get away from Esau. In verse 5 here, it says that he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these?" And Jacob's response is, so he said, "The children whom God graciously given your servant." They're a blessing from God. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 127. In Psalm 127, in verses 3 through 5, the psalmist said, "Behold, children are a gift from God. Even when they add water to the gas tank, they're a gift from God." I would also tell you that those children gave their father today, the little boy, Hatch, he gave his father a blanket, a soft blanket, so they could cuddle together. And Nina, his daughter, gave him purple pansies because he likes flowers and he likes purple. You just can't beat it. See, children are a gift from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children in one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Blessed is the idea of happy. Happy is the man. In fact, a father has responsibility to be an example of what is right and what is good to his children. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 4, Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and the instruction of the Lord." And I'll tell you what, the best way to instruct them in what is right is to show them by your actions. So when Parker was here and we were working on wood, and we had the router out and we couldn't get the router bit out of the router, I instructed him on why you should not work on power tools with them plugged in. I took a chunk out of the end of my finger. And then I turned to Parker and said, this is why you don't work on power tools when they're plugged in. You've got to show them by your example, right? Yeah, absolutely. They're a gift from God. And give them the example. Live what God says. An example is better seen than heard, isn't it? There are plenty of bad examples out there. In fact, sometimes fathers are really poor examples. In 1 Kings 15, and in verses 1 through 3, it just tells us that in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam, became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. He walked in all the sins of his father which he had committed before him, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God like the heart of his father. His father set a bad example and he followed in his footsteps. Hezekiah was a good king, right? One of the best kings of Israel. But his son, Manasseh, was a terribly wicked man. Terribly wicked man. You've got to set a good example no matter what. And then the children must seek those things out. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 18, when God is talking to the children of Israel, he said to their children in the wilderness, I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers or keep their ordinances or defile yourselves with their idols. Now, I understand he wasn't talking to children there in that particular passage, but the idea is still the truth. It's still the same. God directs us not to walk in the wicked ways of those who have gone before us. We're to direct them in the way of righteousness and justice. And so what should be taught in connection with that? Well, look again at Proverbs. In Proverbs 1 and down in verse 8, he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. I want the very best for my children. I'm not going to give them something that's going to give them evil results. I'm going to do what's best for them. In verse 3 it says, receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. These are the things you're to receive or to give them in instruction. In chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2, it says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. These are the things we want for our children. In fact, God chose Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19. It says, I have chosen him, that is Abraham, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And so that the Lord might bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. I have chosen him so that he will command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. And how do they do that? God goes on to say, by doing righteousness and justice. The psalmist, in Psalm 34 and verses 14 through 11, or I'm sorry, Psalm 34 verses 11 through 14. Psalm 34 verses 11 through 14. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And then in Psalm 78 in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet not born, that they might arise and tell them to their children. And then in Ephesians 4 again, in Ephesians 6 in verse 4, remember Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And as I was thinking about this, just how much effort does a father have to put into doing this or accomplishing this? Well, I think the answer is in Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6 and in verses 6 and 7, it says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, just how much effort does that take? Every waking moment should be an opportunity to instruct your children in what is right and what is good. It's going to take a lot of effort, isn't it, to be the head of the home. How sad that Eli failed in this. In 1 Samuel 2 and in verse 12 and the first part of verse 13, it says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord and the custom of the priest with the people. Eli was a prophet of God. He had an intimate relationship with God. But his sons did not know the Lord. And as I thought about that, I wondered, do you think Eli was too busy with the things of the Lord to teach his children to know the Lord? There have been a lot of preachers who have lost their children. It's a sad thing. It's a truly sad thing. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't instruct them to know the Lord. But God held him accountable. What this tells me is I need to be careful not to be too busy to teach my children God's ways or to listen to them. I need to really, this goes back to valuing your children. You need to value what they want to tell you. Whether you think it's important or not, it's important to them. And you need to listen to what they're saying. And a father is to be careful not to exasperate, to discourage his children. In Colossians 3 and verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. And that's really what Ephesians 6 and verse 4 is saying. Do not provoke them to anger. That is, not exasperate them. discourage them. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. I don't have that note down here as to whether it's 1st or 2nd, but I think it's 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his children. This is Paul speaking to these Christians. And he's saying to them, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring you, pleading with you in doing what's right. Just as a father would do to his children. That's the kind of fathers we need to be. We need to cheer them on. We need to pat them on the back when they do good. We need to be kind to them. We need to be tender to them. In Psalm 103 and in verse 13, the psalmist says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. A father has compassion on his children. And a father also corrects his children when they do wrong. Again, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3, and in verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. In Proverbs 29 and verse 17, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. In 1 Timothy 3 and verses 4, first of all, in verse 4, we must be one whom he must, talking about elders, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And then talking about deacons in verse 12, deacons must be husbands of only one wife, good managers of their children and their own households. Having control. Being in control. There are plenty of children that are out of control. They're tearing down fences, property that belonged to other people, destroying things all over the place. Children that are out of control. We need children who are under control because parents are in charge and not the children. In fact, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5, Paul writes, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the house or the church of God? He can't he? If he can't manage his own house, how can he help and lead the people of God? And again, Eli failed in this, didn't he? In fact, in 1 Samuel 3, when Samuel receives the message from God of what he's going to do to Eli, in verses 13 and 14, God says, for I have told him, that is Eli, that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. He knew about it. That's what God says. He knew about it and he didn't rebuke it. He didn't condemn it. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned by a sacrifice or offering forever. I want you to think about the consequences here. The iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. I don't want to be a father that finds himself in that kind of situation. A father is also to provide for his children. He's to provide for their material needs in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. Paul writes, for here this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. For I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to say for their parents, but parents for their children. It's the responsibility of parents to provide for their children. I remember many, many, many years ago, a gentleman saying to Darlene, we just love our toys. That's why he only ended up having one child. He loved his toys. No. Toys are for children. Men must be adults. And they need to fulfill their responsibilities to provide for their children. Toys, you need to leave them alone. You need to put them away. You became an adult, it's time to put the toys away. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, Paul says that a man who, or an individual who does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You need to take care of your family. That means you need to be there. We live in a society, and it's been going on for a long time. I remember these kind of attitudes back in the 60s even. That we're all about procreating, but we're not about taking care of our responsibilities. Any man can, in most cases, can become a father. But you need to be a man. And take care of your responsibilities as a father. Too many are being raised by their mothers and no father to be found anywhere. Most cases, in many cases, we don't even know who the father is. How sad. What a blight on our society. And lastly, the family is responsible for honoring the father. And I think that the wife is very important in this particular point. If the mother doesn't honor the father, why would the children? In Ephesians 5 and verse 33, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Even if he's unrespectable. My qualification. It's important. How can my child respect me as a father if the mother doesn't show respect for the father? It just won't happen. It just won't happen. Back in verse 22 of that passage in Ephesians 5, Paul says she is to be subject to her husband. She to submit to him. Peter says that this is what the holy women of old did in 1 Peter 3 and verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 3 verses 5 and 6. "For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children. If you do what is right without being frightened by any fear." You need to honor your husband. You need to honor the father of your children. And children are to honor their father also. Ephesians 6 in verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obey. Obedience is honoring. God's honored by our obedience. Fathers are honored by the obedience of their children. In Isaiah 30 and verse 1, "Oh, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not by my spirit, in order to add sin to sin." Now again, I understand Isaiah is talking to adults. But this still applies to children too, doesn't it? Woe to rebellious children. You need to obey. You need to obey your father and your mother. There was no honor for God in this action because they were disobedient. And there is no honor for a father in disobedient children. When children rebel against their father, there is no honor. Honor your father by being obedient to him. even if you don't like it. I think this goes back again to what the proverb writer said, what Solomon says in Proverbs. When he pleads with his son to listen to his instruction, pay attention to wisdom. Even if you don't like it, listen, because it will benefit your life. You may not know what the eventual consequences will be, but maybe Dad clearly does, because he's been there before. That's what Solomon is saying to his son, isn't it? I've seen things. I know things. Please, please listen to what I'm saying. Let's just conclude with these thoughts. There is only one perfect Father, our Father in heaven. All the rest of us fall short. Romans 3:23. So fathers, when you fall short, tell your children you're sorry and ask them to forgive you. It's the best way for them to learn how to repent. They will have a higher regard for you also, because you acknowledge your failings. Do you need to make your life right with God today? You have the opportunity this morning. We want to give you that opportunity. We don't know what our life will be in the next 5 minutes even. We may be called away. We may be called home. Who knows? But if you need to make your life right, now is the time. Paul says now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Do you need the prayers of the congregation? If you do, won't you make your way to the front, and we will help you and assist you in any way we can. If you need to be baptized into Christ, now's the time. Won't you come as we stand to sing the song that was selected?